Hello, this is Matthew Tombers, and you're listening to WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400, or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show on Election Day. It's Election Day in Catskill, in Kinderhook, in Ravenna, in Tannersville, and some other local villages, as there are some village elections today. Most polls are open from noon to 6 p.m. You're also tuned in during the WGXC Renewable Pledge Drive, and we're asking for your help to go to wgxc.org/donate and make a donation to keep your local public radio station on the air. Community radio involves all the people, and WGXC 90.7 FM is the one sliver of the dial where all the people have a chance to get on the air and do their own show. And today, also on the show, we'll hear from Anna Allen, a local resident from the Ukraine, and talks about life during wartime there and here. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit DedicatedPresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Glen Falls House in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC Newsroom,
This is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
The Daily Star reports that Nicholas Chase, a substitute teacher in Delaware County, announced March 10th his candidacy for state assembly representing the Democratic Party in the newly drawn 102nd District, composed of Greene and Schoharie counties, as well as parts of Albany, Delaware, Otsego, and Ulster counties. Republican Chris Teague from Schoharie County holds the seat. Chase is running as a Democrat. He said, and I quote, "I was raised on a small farm in Delaware County. When the pandemic hit, I found employment in the field that needed employees badly, education. My employment there has inspired me to run for office. As a state, we have a lot to fight for. I'm running because I'd like to ensure that life in central New York works for all my students, post-high school," end quote. As a teacher, he used his campaign announcement to talk about children. He said, and I quote, "First and foremost, we want to navigate our state out of this pandemic and rectify the educational, societal, and economic impacts it has unleashed on us. We want our children to have access to broadband internet to bolster the quality of their education. We want our farm kids to be able to inherit their farms, work hard to put food on our table, and make a comfortable profit while doing so. We want our children to grow up knowing that they can go to the doctor without fear of how they're going to pay for it. Most importantly, we want our children to see people with morals and compassion leading the way to a better future for all of us. We all want the same thing, a better place for all of us to live and raise our families. Let's put our differences aside and work for it," end quote. You can read more about this story in the Daily Star.
Caleb Redito is reporting for the Legislative Gazette that State Senator James Tedesco has announced new legislation with 12 of his Republican colleagues, requiring an official investigation into the more than 15,000 nursing home-related deaths that occurred in New York during the COVID-19 pandemic. Another measure would designate March 25th as a day of remembrance for the lives lost to COVID statewide. Recently, the new health commissioner, Mary Bassett, advocated for a forward-looking approach for the current administration, but some Republicans are not ready to move on just yet. Quote, "This push isn't about living in the past. It's about ensuring the health and safety of all New Yorkers now and in the future," unquote, said State Senator Sue Serino, a Republican member of the Aging Committee. Quote, "Dr. Bassett showed a complete disregard for these 15,000 New Yorkers when she said during the recent confirmation hearings that she will not look back or, in her words, unravel what happened with the former administration," unquote. Both bills are currently in committee. Read more about the story in the Legislative Gazette.
Roger Hannigan Gilson reports in the Times Union that New York stopped recreational and commercial shad fishing in the Hudson River in 2010. Now, the State Department of Environmental Conservation has a plan to return shad populations in the Hudson River to numbers similar to the 1940s. Then commercial and recreational fishing could be allowed again. Called the poor man's salmon, shad are born in freshwater, live in the oceans, and return to rivers to spawn. Overfishing shad in the Hudson River led to regulations in 1861 when fishing net restrictions and fishing seasons were first implemented. The DEC says there have been population collapses three times since. Now the DEC plans habitat restoration, industrial regulation, and monitoring of shad populations to bring the fish back to the Hudson River. Riverkeepers George Jackman said, and I quote, "There was once a nearly infinite number of fish in the Hudson River. What we have today are just shadows," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Daily Freeman reports a proposal to bring, quote, "affordable, convenient electro microtransit on demand through a mobile app," unquote, to the city of Kingston and Ellenville has been selected as a Phase 1 awardee in a statewide grant program. The Ulster Connect proposal was awarded a Phase 1 grant through the New York Clean Transportation Prize's Clean Neighborhoods Challenge, according to a press release. The proposal will be the first mobility service of its kind in Ulster County. It is a joint initiative between the county, Sustainable Hudson Valley, Family of Woodstock, and VIA. VIA is a company that builds software to enable its customers to transform their transportation systems into digital networks. The plan is still in the planning stages, according to information from the county executive's office. The Ulster Connect microtransit app will make it possible for users to book a ride to a location within the Kingston and Ellenville region using VIA's algorithms. The users will be directed to a virtual bus stop within a short walking distance, allowing for quick, efficient, shared trips that provide more flexibility than traditional public transit, fixed routes, and schedules. Users without smartphones will be able to book a ride through a call center. Ulster Connect is one of 17 projects announced through phase one of the competition and is now eligible to compete for up to $85 million in grand prizes under phase two. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Paul Kirby reports for the Daily Freeman that Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corp. says the residential price for electricity in the Mid-Hudson region will be 46% less per kilowatt hour this month. The utility said in a press release, and I quote, "Continued volatility in the energy markets are prompting swings in electricity and natural gas prices. Central Hudson's residential price for electric supply has fallen 46%. From 21.6 cents per kilowatt hour in February to 11.6 cents per kilowatt hour in March, effective March 11th. As previously announced, natural gas prices rose 24% from 73.9 cents per 100 cubic feet in February to 91.6 cents per 100 cubic feet in March, effective March 1st, end quote. The company warned energy prices will stay high this year because of, and I quote, recovering economy, energy supply constraints, strong energy demands, and global events, end quote. Central Hudson spokesperson Joseph Jenkins said it is difficult to estimate bills this month. Jenkins said, and I quote, "We're not able to direct bill impacts because March is a transition month where customers' usage varies greatly, as can the weather. The electric rates we distributed today, March 11th, will begin to impact billing today and moving forward. That being said, not all of our customers are on the same billing cycle. Depending on when you receive your bill, the supply rate you are charged is a blend of 2 months' rates," end quote. You can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that advocates for home care workers in New York are applauding the inclusion of a pay raise provision for those workers as part of the legislative budget proposals to be released this week. The first step toward a worker pay hike was included in the spending plans backed by Democrats in the State Assembly and Senate. Quote, "New York faces the worst home care shortage in America, and this crisis has left tens of thousands of aging adults and disabled people without care and forced them into dangerous nursing homes," unquote, said Alana Berger, co-director of the New York Caring Majority, a coalition formed to back the pay raise. The facts, quote, "The facts are clear. Permanent fair wages will keep home care workers from continuing to flee the sector. If New York pays home care workers a fair wage, the state can quickly wipe out the home care shortage, keeping aging adults and disabled people safe at home and save the state money," unquote. Home care worker shortage could be worse in the coming decades as the state's population of people age 65 and older will increase by 25% in the next 19 years. The number of adults over the age of 85 is projected to increase by 75%. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m.
It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 53 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of showers, mainly between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 36 degrees. And on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 54 degrees. And Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 39 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You'll hear all sorts of creative community voices on the radio March 15th at WGXC 90.7 FM during our Sustainable Pledge Drive, where we're trying to make WGXC a sustainable part of the Upper Hudson Valley media ecosystem by adding solar panels to the roof at Wave Farm and making WGXC a solar-powered radio station. If you want to help with this effort, go to wgxc.org/donate. If you want to listen to the radio on Tuesday, March 15th, you'll hear Cornelius Eady, the poet who has a home in Acre, on the Ginger Radio Hour with Justin Maiman live from the Wave Farm Study Center under those solar panels. We'll hear the Vinyl Freedom Show from DJ Patty Boom live at noon after the local news with 2 hours of rock, pop, and more. Then at 4 p.m., we'll tune into the WGXC Afternoon Show on Tuesday with Randall Martin live from Hudson. At 7 p.m., we're live from Hudson again with Kimberly Irwin and her Race Talk Show. And then at 8 p.m., we're live from Catskill with Johnny Sturman and Carmen Borgia and the Ukuleles Unleashed program. Then at 10, we're live from Columbia County with the Battlefield Earth Show from Dan Seward on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Niger guitarist Modur Maktur brings his band to the Colony Cafe in Woodstock on Monday, March 21st. Maktur is often compared to Prince and Eddie Van Halen for his renowned guitar playing, mostly on albums on the Sahel Sounds label. But his 2021 album, Afrique Victime, came out on the Matador label. He performs Monday, March 21st at 8 p.m. at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock. Go to the WGXC community calendar online for more information about this and many other local events. Good
morning and welcome to the WGXC 90.7 FM Winter 2022 Pledge Drive. Tune to WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears, a creative community radio station based in New York's Greene and Columbia counties. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay, on 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and the Wave Farm radio app on your smartphone. Thank you. My goal today during our pledge drive is to have two of my listeners become sustaining donors so that the radio station continues with adventurous programming and local news. You can make your pledge of support at wgxc.org/donate or at area code 518-697-7400. To run this radio station worry-free, we need $5,000 of steady income from you each month. Currently, we need $1,200 more each month to reach our goal. Help us to do that at wgxc.org/donate or at 518-697-7400. WGXC has served Greene and Columbia counties in New York for over 11 years, and I'm one of the programmers who started with the creation of the station in 2011. Keep community radio in the community. It's a big challenge for many communities in this country right now, as you know. I'd like to hear from you how important community radio is in your life. Feel free to give us your feedback at feedback@wgxc.org or contact us at info@wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, March 15th. Early on this AM, we see a pretty homogeneous temperature spread, 37 degrees in Kingston to 40 degrees in Oak Hill. Things are going to warm up a bit. Around 1 p.m., a chance of rain will arrive. Only a chance, but it will be spread out. By 4 p.m., we reach 55 degrees. Overnight, the rain lingers as the temperature drops to 37 degrees. Wednesday, things are looking dry with a light breeze and a high of 60 degrees. 40 degrees overnight takes us into a rainy Thursday with a high of 55. Friday, we're going to see a bit more rain, but we reach a high of 66. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2 a.m., then low tide at 8:08 a.m., high tide again at 2:11 p.m., then low tide again at 8:50 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 35 degrees. Sunset today will be at 6:47 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:04 a.m. Looking way up, we see another coronal mass ejection is on the way, due to arrive on Thursday. Solar wind speed is currently 441 kilometers per second at 2 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible until dark, then okay below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 82. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate, who asked that you consider becoming a sustaining supporter for WGXC. Just head on over to WGXC.org, click donate, and a couple minutes later, you could be in our Hall of Heroes.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Rob Gellis of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
My people, what can I say? Say what I can. I saw it, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it, what I saw. Are we going to live together? Together, are we going to live? This is your Mr. Senior Love Daddy talking to you from We Love Radio 108 FM on your dial. And that's the triple truth, Ruth. Today's weather, hot! Wake up!
Hometown, same town blues. Same old walls closing in. Well, what a life a mess can be. Well, I'm sitting here thinking of you once again. What's well, time on? to be done. It's winding down, there's much you miss, working on that graveyard shift. But I'm not saying this won't go wrong, it still comes along. What I see is true, I could learn to believe. Can't believe powers that be might take it all away. Together we'll burn, together we'll burn it away. Sunset land of paradise, sunset land of pain. Well, what side are you looking from? Some people have it all, and some want the gain. Well, man, it's high above your dime for a break, it's $20 bill. There's plenty of reason in this world, moving along or standing still. Learn to believe, can't look away. Powers that be might take it all away. Together we'll burn, together we'll burn it away. Time's been looking for a reason. Since the simple ones beat the most truth. Well, what a life a mess can be. Well, I'm sitting here thinking of you. Won't you give these thoughts to me? Well, time will wait better on the game. Get out, start, needs to be done. It's winding down, there's much you miss, working on that graveyard shift. But I'm not saying it's won't go wrong, it's day comes along. What I see is true, I could learn to believe. Can't look away, powers that be might take it all away. Together we'll burn away.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Raising the alert of Russian nuclear forces is a bone-chilling development. The prospect of nuclear conflict, once unthinkable, is now back within the realm of possibility.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres pleaded for Russia to cease violence against Ukraine and get on a path to diplomacy and peace. He said the situation is deteriorating as roads, airports, and health facilities lie in ruins and thousands are without water or electricity. The European Union approved a fourth set of sanctions to punish Moscow Monday, along with more sectors of the Russian economy. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will speak virtually to members of Congress Wednesday after lawmakers approved a $14 billion aid package for his country. Zelensky has pushed the U.S. to implement a no-fly zone, but defense officials fear it would result in a direct U.S.-Russia conflict. Fox News correspondent Benjamin Hall was injured reporting on the Ukraine invasion and is hospitalized. While few details are known, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby expressed hope for a speedy recovery.
This is a war that didn't need to be fought, to be sure. But just as to be sure, there are journalists from around the world on the ground trying to discover the truth and to show that truth and to tell these important stories.
The White House is considering a trip for President Biden to Europe so that he can meet with allies about the invasion. A possible destination would be Brussels, home of NATO headquarters. On Monday, Biden told a National League of Cities conference his administration is not behind record inflation and rising costs, which he attributed to the pandemic and Russia.
Make no mistake, the current spike in gas prices is largely the fault of Vladimir Putin. It has nothing to do with the American Rescue Plan.
Republicans have called on Biden to lift executive orders, canceling the Keystone XL pipeline and freezing new oil and gas leases on federal land. Senator Joe Manchin says he won't vote to confirm Sarah Bloom Raskin as the Fed's vice chair for supervision. The West Virginia Democrat voiced concerns about her view that the Fed should exclude struggling energy companies from government relief. Federal prosecutors asked a judge to dismiss criminal charges against a Capitol riot defendant and release him from jail, admitting in a court filing his legal right to a speedy trial has been violated. Prosecutors said oversights led to the defendant sitting in a Virginia jail for weeks as he awaited a court appearance. And this is Sunshine Week, which celebrates the importance of government transparency. Associate Attorney General Vinita Gupta says new guidelines will soon be issued to encourage government-wide compliance with the Freedom of Information Act.
It is through the FOIA that journalists, advocates, and the public remain informed well enough to make real our ideal of a democracy governed by the people and for the people.
In 2021, the federal government processed more than 838,000 FOIA requests. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eTrust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
American jazz singer Blossom Dearie was born in East Durham, New York in 1924. Here's her song, They Say It's Spring.
When I was young, I lived in a world of dreams, of moods and myths and illusionary schemes. Though now I'm much more grown up, I fear that I must own up to the fact that I'm in doubt of what the modern cynics shout of. They say it's spring, this feeling light as a feather. They say this thing, this magic we share together, came with the weather too. They say it's May that's made me daft as a daisy. It's May, they say, that gave the whole world this crazy, heavenly, hazy hue. I'm a lark on a wing, I'm the spark of a firefly's fling. Yet to me this must be something more than a seasonal thing. They say it's spring, those bells that I can hear ringing. It may be spring, but when the robin starts singing, you're what I'm clinging to. Though they say it's spring, it's you. heart sympathetic, it's merely spring. Then poets' plights are pathetic, though I'm poetic too. They say it's spring. For lovers, there's where the lure is, that evil thing, for which September the cure is. This they are sure is true, though I know that it's so, that my fancy may turn in the spring. With the right one in sight, one can find a perpetual thing. Did I need spring to bring the ring that you bought me, though it was spring? That wondrous day that you caught me, darling, I thought we knew that it wasn't spring, 'twas you.
I'm Tom Rowe with WGXC in Acre with this week's WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 19th and 20th congressional seats in New York. Current Democratic Representatives Antonio Delgado and Paul Tonko vote with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that seven members of New York's congressional delegation are endorsing tuition assistance for people in prison. But Representatives Antonio Delgado and Paul Tonko, who represent citizens locally, are not on the list to end a decades-long ban on tuition for prisoners. Representatives Richie Torres, Nydia Velazquez, Greg Meeks, Jamal Bowman, Grace Ming, Hakeem Jeffries, Carolyn Maloney, and Mondaire Jones are backing Governor Kathy Hochul's proposal to extend higher education courses for people in New York prisons. Proponents argue that reestablishing access for people in prison to the tuition assistance program would reduce recidivism, increase the job opportunities out of prison, and help narrow a racial inequity gap. The lawmakers in the letter they all signed said, and I quote, "Allowing incarcerated students to benefit from TAP is a long overdue and straightforward action that builds opportunity, promotes equity, strengthens democracy, and affirms our commitment to racial justice in New York State," end quote. Nationally, Congress has already lifted a ban on Pell Grant eligibility for people in prison after a 25-year ban. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. There aren't too many times the entire Hudson Valley delegation in the House of Representatives votes the same way, but they did March 9th on the Suspending Energy Imports from Russia Act. Republican Elise Stefanik and Democrats Antonio Delgado, Paul Tonko, and Sean Maloney all voted for the measure, which passed 414-17. The bill to cut off American oil funds from Russia after their invasion of Ukraine was opposed by two far-left Democrats, Ilhan Omar and Cori Bush, and 15 far-right Republicans, such as Marjorie Taylor Greene, Madison Cawthorn, and Paul Gosar. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that dairy farmers have been complaining recently about having to pay overtime wages to workers, the kind that grocery store employees get. Now they also want New York City not to ban chocolate milk because they say they will sell less of the dairy product. And they have Democrats such as Representative Antonio Delgado and Republicans such as Assemblymember Chris Teague on their side. Delgado said in a statement, and I quote, "It is critical that children have access to school meals that support their growth and well-being. I am deeply concerned by attempts to ban flavored milk from New York City schools," end quote. Delgado and other New York State members of the Congress have signed a letter objecting to the removal of chocolate milk from New York City schools. They include Republican Elise Stefanik, John Katiko, Tom Redd, Claudia Tini, Chris Jacobs, and Lee Zeldin, and Democrat Sean Patrick Maloney. The letter said, and I quote, "Studies have shown that reducing or eliminating the availability of flavored milk in schools has led to overall decreased milk consumption and increased food waste. In fact, a study of Oregon schools by Cornell found total daily milk sales declined by 9.9% when flavored milk was removed from the cafeteria and was associated with 6.8% fewer students eating lunch," end quote. Teague agreed. Teague said in a statement, "Cold, refreshing chocolate milk with a school lunch is a small, timeless joy that has carried students through the challenges of academia for decades. The thought of taking this small treat from our children, along with significant revenue from our dairy farmers, is incredibly callous and reeks of nanny statism," end quote. The elected officials did not tout chocolate milk as better nutritionally for children, but instead focused on sales of milk for dairy farmers. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking this week's activities from Representative Paul Tonko and Representative Antonio Delgado, who both represent in Congress many of the citizens in the WGXC listening area. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories.
Hey there, I'm Brendan Donegan. You might know me as the host of the Playing Favorites show on Monday mornings, but I'll bet you didn't know that not only am I a volunteer show host, but I'm also a sustaining monthly supporter of the station. First, because I really believe in WGXC's mission to provide creative community radio to the Twin Counties, whether that's local news and opinion or providing a rich variety of music and arts programming. Second, because in my nearly 4 years at the station, I've been impressed by the intelligent way WGXC's financial resources are invested in improving services to our listeners. For instance, we've just reduced our carbon footprint by converting to solar energy to heat and cool our transmitter in Acre, and we will soon increase our tech footprint by offering an Android version of the WGXC app. But to continue to improve, we need your help. That's why I'm asking you to show you value WGXC and join me in becoming a monthly sustaining contributor. Here's a fascinating fact. Pledging $20 per month works out to a contribution of less than 20 cents a day. So visit our website at wgxc.org/donate. And it's tax deductible. Thanks, and I'll see you on the radio on Monday mornings.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Hello, I'm Anna Allen. I was born in Ukraine, and I came to America in 1994. At present, I work as an ophthalmologist in Albany, New York, and I live in Selkirk. Growing up back in the USSR, people very much were afraid to speak against the government. And a lot of that mentality still persists. One of my Russian friends here in Albany area has a mother in Russia. And I asked, so what does your mom think about this conflict? And she's like, oh, my mom is afraid to talk about it on the phone. What if somebody is listening? Realistically, nobody is listening to the phone conversation of this 70-year-old retired lady in Russia, but people are still afraid. Still back from the communist time, they're afraid that if you speak against the government, you will get imprisoned. And, you know, in reality, Putin did officially announce like 15-year sentences for people who, in his words, spread disinformation, or people who go on the demonstrations against the war. And people in the former USSR know that Putin and his regime, they will keep those promises.
What do you understand about the situation as a Ukrainian that others might not understand?
The tragedy of this war is not only that it's absolutely uncalled for, it's, you know, really an invasion of a sovereign democratic country by the neighboring superpower. But Putin's forces also target civilians in their aggression. They are targeting schools, they are targeting universities. Historic downtown of Kharkiv has been destroyed. They are holding hostage two nuclear power plants, Chernobyl and Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. They targeted a nuclear research institute in Kharkiv with short-range missiles just a couple of days ago. And when there is options to have the green corridors for the civilians to escape, they're being violated by the Putin's forces. So sometimes civilians don't have an option to escape. The other thing is that the two countries really have a very intertwined history for many, many years. There's many families that cross the border. There's, I know plenty of people who either husband is from Ukraine and the wife is from Russia or vice versa. I know people who, you know, maybe grew up in Ukraine and lived and, you know, moved to Russia and worked there for, you know, sort of many years. So it will tear a lot of families apart, this conflict.
So why does this war in Ukraine affect people in the capital region?
The Ukrainians, they are not fighting just for their land. They are fighting for democracy. Ukraine is a democratic country and had, you know, democratic election, has democratically elected president. And that does not satisfy Putin, and he wants to impose his own government over the territory. He did try to do it peacefully about 10 years ago and imposed his puppet Yanukovych. During that time, Ukraine was extremely corrupt and a lot of money was flowing back to Russia, and Ukrainian economy was suffering, people's livelihood was suffering, and Ukrainians had risen and they put Yanukovych out of power and had elected the Ukrainian president. And then the follow-up elections, they elected Zelensky, but that does not satisfy Putin. He really wants to spread his dictatorship to a larger and larger area. Ukraine is a peaceful country. It's the only country in the world that gave up its nuclear arsenal. Back in 1994, there was an agreement signed in Budapest between Russia, Ukraine, Great Britain, and United States of America. And according to that agreement, Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons. And in exchange, these three countries, Russia, Great Britain, and United States, had promised to protect the territorial sovereignty of Ukraine. So America does have an obligation, according to this contract that America signed, to protect Ukraine.
There are a lot of Ukrainians in our community. Ukrainian people are here in the capital region. So being someone from Ukraine here in the capital region, do you have a community of Ukrainians here?
Oh, definitely. I am not a very strong member of that community, but there is a very strong community of Ukrainians in the area. There are three Ukrainian churches in the area. There is Ukrainian Cultural Center. They do amazing things. They teach Ukrainian dancing to kids. They put on Ukrainian plays sometimes. They are now, you know, collecting donations for the refugees from Ukraine.
So what actions can we take to support Ukrainian people and take action against the war?
Some ladies from Albany-Bethlehem area, we started the petition on the change.com entitled Help Ukraine Stop Putin, asking for further economic sanctions against Russia, because economic sanctions that have been imposed so far has not fully crippled the Russian economy. I'm grateful to hear that just today, President Biden announced that U.S. will halt buying oil and other energy resources from Russia. But, for example, they introduced the restrictions on SWIFT payment system, but those are just partial restrictions, and it has not really worked to the full extent. There is still definitely economic relations with Russia, and I think further severing economic relations with Russia will be helpful. And so if people would like to, you know, sign our petition, there's also other petitions on both change.org and resistbot that one can find online. Hopefully that can affect our lawmakers in following this petitions of the people. The other thing will be humanitarian aid that can be donated, like the Ukrainian church in Waterloo is collecting donations, and you can find information on serqua.org how to donate. The other organization that also helps in the war-torn zones of Ukraine is vostok-sos.org. There is plenty of other organizations that one can contribute to through either, you know, Red Cross or Doctors Without Borders or things like that.
What have I left out? What have I forgotten to ask that you feel is necessary to have a part of this conversation?
I think big part of it is Russian people in Russia and Russian speaking people in America. I don't want them to be prosecuted in this conflict. A lot of this conflict is coming out of Putin himself. Maybe his initial people who are surrounding him, it's even hard to judge how much people around him really share his opinion, or they're just too scared to say anything against him. There've been a huge amount of propaganda within Russia to portray Ukrainians as villains and fascists and Nazis and, you know, all these kind of bad words. But I do firmly believe that the majority of Russians do not support this action on the part of their government, and they will suffer this economic consequence. I honestly don't think, definitely, average Russian person who just gets a paycheck will probably suffer more from the sanctions than the oligarch. I mean, maybe oligarch will not have his billions of dollars, but just millions of dollars, they still will not go hungry. So what we're doing also are hurting regular people in Russia. Regular 20-year-old guys from Russia die in Ukraine every day during these attacks. It really hurts both sides.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Flesh of thee, cast aside and set you free.
so they can't see the chill you feel. It comes from me. Oh, oh, Dad. Oh, oh, Dad. Can't you spare me over here another year? Oh, oh, Dad. Oh, oh, Dad. Can't you spare me over here another year? Push me to the wall.